Hello, I'm Georgina Marshall, Global Head of Research for ISS, and welcome to the latest edition of the ISS 2020 Proxy Bulletin podcast series. This April podcast focuses on the EMEA region, that is Europe, including the UK, the Middle East and Africa, at a time when proxy seasons typically heat up across the region, along with the spring weather, hopefully. Joining me to discuss 2020 season trends so far and to provide previews of some upcoming May meetings to watch is Thibaut Barsac. Thibaut is a senior analyst, head of Southern European research, and a veteran member of our ISS EMEA research team. During our European preview podcast in March, we discussed the potential impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on the then upcoming proxy seasons. At the time, many companies across the region were still considering their options for holding AGMs amid a wave of stay-in-place orders and country lockdowns. Thibaut, how has the picture changed over the course of the past month?
Well, the COVID-19 pandemic continues to have a significant impact on 2020 general meetings. AGM logistics are highly disrupted. Given the health and safety concerns and restrictions, companies have generally gone down one of two paths, either postponing or cancelling their meetings, or switching to virtual-only AGMs or holding meetings behind closed doors, as is the case in the UK and France, for instance. To date, a few hundred general meetings have been postponed or cancelled across the region, although this is still a minority of overall AGMs. Many Nordic company meetings scheduled for March and April, for example, were cancelled. According to the current meeting cancellation postponement numbers in ISS COVID-19 Online Research Centre, as of last week, Finland leads with 56, Sweden has 28, and Denmark has 21. The stated reasons for many of these Nordic market cancellations are government restrictions or the lack of legal ability to hold virtual meetings. In the last couple of weeks, however, a growing number of these companies have announced new meeting dates, mostly scheduled for May and June. In the UK, some companies with early meeting dates adjourn indefinitely. But as the proxy season has worn on, most are going forward with the AGMs, albeit behind closed doors, with shareholders barred from attending in person. For virtual meetings, Germany leads the e-meeting trend for Europe with close to 90 scheduled so far. Austria has 30 virtual meetings in the Resource Center database.
And did some legislatures or market regulators need to rewrite AGM rules to account for the impact of the pandemic?
Yes. The German government passed a new law that enables companies to hold a virtual meeting by announcing it at least 21 days prior to the meeting. Typically, German companies announce their meetings early, say 35 to 45 days prior to the meeting. Therefore, we have seen a mix of strategies, with some German companies taking advantage of the shorter notice period and others sticking with their original meeting dates but changing the meeting form from physical to virtual. Overall, the new law has permitted many German companies to stick with their scheduled meeting dates. Some DAX-listed companies, including Daimler and Henkel, were forced to postpone their meetings prior to the passage of the new law, and they have not yet reconvened. In Sweden, in response to the pandemic and the restrictions put in place by the government, the Swedish Parliament approved a temporary law to facilitate the holding of annual general meetings. Boards can now decide on postal voting, even when this is not included in the company's articles of association or in the agenda notice. The temporary law is applicable from 15th of April until the end of 2020. In France, the government passed an ordinance creating flexible interim rules on shareholder meetings, including giving many French companies the temporary ability to hold AGMs under closed doors. French regulatory body, AMF, issued recommendations to help ensure that shareholders may vote at and participate in remote meetings. A three-month extension for approval of financial statements and organizing AGMs was also given, giving most French companies with a December 2019 year-end the ability to switch out meeting dates to the 30th of September 2020. In terms of altering the normal AGM process, Hungary stands out. A government decree, 102/2020, introduced rules that no general meetings can be held in a way that requires shareholders to physically attend during the state of emergency related to COVID-19. As permitted by this decree, the boards of directors of some major Hungarian companies have themselves approved resolutions, such as approval of annual accounts, allocation of income, or bylaw amendments that were until now subject to shareholder approval at general meeting. The Hungarian decree provides some limited safeguards. Shareholders controlling at least 1% of voting rights in the company will have the right to request that the board of directors convene a full general meeting for one of two purposes. Firstly, for retrospective approval of the board decisions on the financial statements and profit allocation until the 31st of May 2020. And secondly, for retrospective approval of the board decisions on amendments to the company's bylaws and all other resolutions passed under the authority of the general meeting, except those related to the financial statements, within 30 days following the termination of the pandemic situation in Hungary.
Thanks. That's interesting to hear some of the range of regulatory responses there. And moving next to the impact on AGM agendas themselves, what ballot issues appear so far to have been most impacted by the pandemic?
Well, not surprisingly, many companies are revisiting their remuneration policy and executive compensation packages. In the Nordic region, with its early season meetings, boards have generally chosen to freeze instead of increase director fees in 2020, though few companies have so far withdrawn or significantly adjusted down the long-term executive incentive plan proposals. In the UK, a good number of companies have taken steps either to directly cut CEO and other executive base pay or to cancel annual increases in salary. Executive pay reductions have also been seen across the other European markets, some of it by CEOs volunteering to give up a percentage of their salary to share the pain or to give to pandemic-related causes.
And beyond executive pay, what actions are we seeing related to the very important areas of dividends and other capital-related structures?
Well, the pandemic has, of course, triggered significant market and financial uncertainties. As a result, many companies across UK and Europe have taken action on their previously proposed dividend for 2020. Many companies have revisited their original dividend proposals ahead of their general meetings. In the Nordics, for example, most companies withdrew the dividend proposal from their major agendas. Others asked shareholders to authorize the board to approve dividend payments later this year instead of giving specific approval at the AGM. In the UK, many FTSE 350 companies are considering their final dividend payments, which are binding commitments once approved by shareholders. They may choose to pay interim dividend later in the year if the company views dividend as appropriate at that time. One additional UK note related to COVID-19 is that the UK Preemption Group now recommend that investors consider approving general share insurance authorities for up to 20% for UK companies on a case-by-case basis, compared to the normal UK recommended limit of 10%. However, this case-by-case analysis should be considered in response to COVID-19 and only for a limited period. Despite this extra implied flexibility, no UK company has so far proposed a 20% limit authority.
And moving next to interaction between companies and shareholders, what impact are we seeing the pandemic has had on engagement efforts?
Well, despite the restrictions on physical engagement meetings, many companies appear to have stepped up their contacts with the investor community. The EMEA research team has heard some common themes during our dialogues with companies this year. Executive compensation and board composition, both gender and skill set diversity, remain high on the engagement agenda in France, Netherlands, Spain, and the UK. Discussions around capital allocation and corporate social responsibility continue to gather momentum in France and Spain. Meanwhile, many UK companies are interested in hearing investor views on logistical measures surrounding AGMs and withdrawal of dividend proposals. And climate change risks remain high on the agenda for many investors and companies across Europe.
Originally, heading into 2020, we expected to see the implementation of the Shareholder Rights Directive, so-called SRD2, to have a big impact. What have we seen to date on this?
In Europe, we have noted several effects of SRD2 implementation on remuneration in France and Netherlands. Some French companies are giving their boards significant discretionary power as part of their remuneration policy. While some discretions can be a positive element and proves uncontroversial when appropriately used, it is worthwhile noting some French companies understand this discretionary power in a very broad manner, i.e. without any limitation. In the Netherlands, companies table both their remuneration policy and remuneration reports on their general meeting agendas, in line with SRD2 provisions. Dutch companies generally provide sufficient information on their pay practices to understand the pay for performance link. However, there is room for improvement with regards to retrospective disclosure of performance outcomes under annual bonus schemes.
Okay, thanks on that, Thibaut. And last on our own European agenda today, what are some notable meetings that investors should mark on their calendars, perhaps?
At UK Bank Barclays, for instance, the AGM due on 7th of May, a shareholder resolution filed by Charity Share Action asks the bank to phase out the provision of financial services to companies in the energy sector that are not aligned with the Paris Agreement. In response to this shareholder proposal, the Barclays board has tabled its own counter-proposal and come up with what appears to be an ambitious plan for the bank to become a net zero institution by 2050 across scopes 1, 2, and 3 of the Paris Agreement. The board's proposal establishes a strategy with specific milestones to transition its provision of financial services across all sectors to align with the goals and timelines of the Paris Agreement. The Barclays proposal goes beyond the Share Action proposal in some parts, although Share Action's proposal has more prescriptive requirements in others. This is the first company table resolution of its kind at a listed UK bank and has been well received by many investors. If passed, it would be a significant step forward for Barclays. It is worth noting that although some investors may be sympathetic to both Share Action's proposals and the board's counter-proposal, if both items were to pass, it may create an undesirable state of legal uncertainty, given that both resolutions are binding on the company.
Yes, that is indeed an interesting one to watch. And are there other companies where environmental issues feature on ballots in the next month or two?
Yes. For the first time, a Spanish company has received environmental-related proposal from a shareholder. TCI Fund Management asks airport manager AENA to set up and disclose a climate transition plan and to update shareholders about it on a regular basis. These proposals are unlikely to pass unless the Spanish state, which is the majority shareholder in the company, is supportive. I will note that AENA's general meeting has been postponed to an unknown date. In France, French companies Vinci and Total also received environmental-related shareholder proposals. Vinci, where TCI also was a proponent, refused to include that item on its meeting agenda, as it considered this would alter the distribution of legally established powers between the board and shareholders. Total, which AGM is scheduled on 29th of May, has yet to say if it will include the shareholder proposal on its meeting agenda. And both Shell in the UK, the AGM is on the 19th of May, and Equinor in Norway, formerly Statoil, AGM on the 14th of May, received similar shareholder resolutions from the same proponents. Follow this. The proposals ask both companies to set and disclose targets that are aligned with the goal of the Paris Climate Agreement to limit global warming below 2 degrees above pre-industrial levels.
And in the arena of contested situations, we've been reading in some of the press that takeover and activist actions have largely been, or should be perhaps, put on hold in the wake of the pandemic. Is that what we're seeing, or are there many ongoing?
There are a few that are still in play. In Italy, Intesa San Paolo shareholders on 27th of April approved a €1 billion equity raise to finance the bank's hostile bid on domestic peer UBI. UBI is the third Italian commercial banking group by market capitalization. However, recent press reports suggest that French institution Crédit Agricole may come up with a counteroffer. In France, Lagardère, at its meeting on 5th of May, faces activist investor Amber Capital, who also is the largest shareholder with 18% of capital. Amber questioned the company's capital allocation and governance practices. Specifically, Amber casts doubts about the company's holding structure and legal form and the effectiveness of its supervisory board. Amber's objective is to shake up the 12-member supervisory board. It proposes 8 candidates and seeks to dismiss 7 incumbent directors while it opposes the election of another board member. However, Bolloré and Ladrier de la Charrière, both key French figures, entered Lagardère's capital recently. Bolloré now holds 10.6% through Vivendi and are likely to back management. Finally, at EasyJet in the UK, another proxy fight between the board and dissenting founder and major shareholder Sostelios Haji Ioannou over Airbus orders is looming at its meeting on 22nd of May.
Okay, thanks, Thibaut. And leaving Europe now, how is the pandemic affecting meetings in the Middle East and Africa?
Well, several big MENA markets, including Egypt, UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Nigeria, established electronic voting procedures and permitted the use of technology to hold general meetings. The Saudi Capital Market Authority issued a decision on 16th of March, suspending physical attendance at company general meetings until further notice because of public health warnings related to COVID-19. Several Saudi companies announced on the local stock exchange website that voting on their general meeting proposals will be conducted through electronic voting using the Tadawulati website. An e-voting portal offered by the Securities Depository Center enables shareholders to view and vote on meeting proposals by visiting the website link set out by each company. Furthermore, each company may establish a specific period during which shareholders can vote on meeting proposals.
Interesting. And are there any governance and ESG trends of note in the MENA market so far this year?
Yeah, in the MENA region, and especially in Saudi Arabia, disclosure has greatly improved from last year, which reflects increased awareness of the importance of corporate governance in this geographic area. Also, bond independence has gathered momentum and is increasing among companies in the region. This year, many Kuwaiti corporations have proposed to amend the bylaws to require the presence of at least two independent members on their boards. These proposals are in line with the Kuwaiti 2018 executive bylaws in corporate governance and the 2016 corporate governance codes, which recommend a majority of non-executive directors on the boards, including independent members, though the latter should not exceed half of directors. Environmental and social issues are also making inroads in the regions, especially in Africa. Starting mid last year, sustainability reporting in Zimbabwe has become mandatory for listed companies. And in October 2019, the Nigerian Stock Exchange and the Luxembourg Stock Exchange, one of the largest listing global platforms for green bonds, signed the Memorandum of Understanding covering promoting cross-listing and training of green bonds in Nigeria and Luxembourg.
Thanks, Thibaut. And that's it for April's EMEA Update podcast. Thanks to you, our listeners, and we hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Watch your email for the next instalments, and please send any feedback or questions to bulletin@issgovernance.com. And finally, if you're interested in the ISS COVID-19 Resource Centre mentioned by Thibaut, it contains a wealth of information and can be found on our website, issgovernance.com, by following the link on the homepage. Stay safe and goodbye for now.